Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Writer Liu Xiaobo was comfortably settled in at Columbia University back in 1989 when the students began protesting in Tiananmen Square.
He rushed back to China, and the literature professor became the firebrand, preaching dissension to hundreds of young people.
To this day, there's no precise number of students and workers who died that day. It could have been as high as 1,000 or more.
That's something Liu Xiaobo has regretted to this day.
He is a person with very strong historical sense. In the Chinese tradition, it is the duty for a scholar to really care about the fate of common people. And I think Liu Xiaobo has taken over this feeling of responsibility as an intellectual.
Liu's publisher talking about the man that will not accept his Nobel Peace Prize today.
Because he's still in jail in China. A closer look at Liu Xiaobo on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. Peace and prizes. The Oslo ceremony for the Nobel Peace Prize is just getting started. It's Friday, December 10th.
Let's get right to the top of the news this morning, and it's all in Oslo. The Nobel Peace Prize ceremony begins any moment now. Jailed dissident Liu Xiaobo has been blocked from accepting the award. Earlier, we spoke with BBC correspondent Chris Hogg in Beijing. He says China is also clamping down on activists who are sympathetic to Liu.
There is an incredible crackdown, really, against all kinds of dissidents. His wife is under house arrest. She hasn't been able to have any contact with anyone in the outside world since the announcement of the prize in October.
And let's go momentarily to the we don't have that, but we're trying to get to the ceremonies in Oslo, which are actually beginning as we speak. The Chinese government's blocking access to websites that are covering the ceremony, even the BBC and CNN.
But as expected, on stage, there is an empty chair where the prize, for the first time in 74 years, will be given to no one. Liu Xiaobo, of course, in prison in China. Haitian officials say they'll recount ballots in the presidential election after days of riots sparked by the initial tally. Albert Ramdin is Assistant Secretary General of the Organization of American States. He says the recount could relieve tensions there.
Recounting the top three candidates in terms of how many people voted for them, I think that in itself is a good sign. The international community and the observer missions, they should be present so that some credibility can be given to this recount.
Of course, the OAS actually, as recently as last week, said the election was fine. Supporters of third-place finisher Michel Martelly say governing party candidate Jude Celestin rigged the results to make it into the runoff. Websites of Dutch police and prosecutors are under attack this morning, a day after their arrest of a 16-year-old suspected of being involved in cyber attacks against MasterCard.com and Visa. The attacks were part of Operation Payback, an act of retaliation against companies that have blocked payments to WikiLeaks.
A Senate test vote on the president's tax cut deal is set for Monday, but Republicans and Democrats are still wrangling over details of the compromise. Senator Bernard Sanders says the package will cost more than $850 billion over the next decade, and it needs to be improved.
It is, in my view, a bad deal, and I think we can do a lot better.
The president has also instructed his economic team to look into closing loopholes and lowering income tax rates and simplifying the tax code. Also, the Senate blocked an attempt to move forward with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Senators Joseph Lieberman and Susan Collins say they'll intend to introduce a new bill to try to address the issue once again.
The government's $700 billion troubled asset relief program has earned taxpayers $35 billion in the last 2 years. Much of the profit for the financial rescue program comes from the Treasury Department's sale recently of Citigroup stock. Life expectancy in the U.S. dropped slightly in 2008, the first full year of the recession. Americans lived to an average age of 77.8 years, down 1 percentage point from the previous year. Asian and European markets are mixed. Futures are up on Wall Street. The Dow starts at 11,370, 1,233 for the S&P, and 2,616 for the NASDAQ. We'll explore where our country would be today if Gore had won the 2000 Supreme Court ruling on Bush v. Gore. A Gore presidency? What might that mean?
First, a look at Liu Xiaobo, the man who is not in Oslo.